Hello, everybody, and welcome back. Thanks for joining me for another interview on Trader Talk, the podcast of MoneyShow.com. My guest today is Tim Reset of eMiniMind.com. He's also going to be a speaker at the upcoming New York Traders Expo this coming weekend and week over the President's Day holiday. We're going to talk to Tim about how he trades and what he's going to be talking about in his session as well. So, first of all, Tim, thanks for joining me on Skype today.
Thanks for having me, Tim.
All right, let's talk about your expo session first, because I know the New York show is always a great one. It's the biggest one of the year, and you've got a session there at the show. What are you going to be talking about?
Yeah, the topic for my presentation is going to be 10 steps to developing a winning trader's mindset. So this is actually my first time speaking in New York. I've had the pleasure to speak a couple of times out in Vegas, but I'm really excited to see what the New York Expo has to offer.
All right, great. Well, we don't want to go through your whole presentation, but I want to ask you about some of those things. So first of all, why a trader mindset? What is it about mindset that has an effect on how you do as a trader?
Well, I think the mindset, and you know, whether it's in trading or investing, it's really our mindset that acts as the foundation, and especially in trading. You know, I think it was Yogi Berra said that baseball is 90% mental and the other half is physical. Well, I believe that in trading, we have trading is 90% mental and the other half is execution. So with developing a talk for the Traders Expo, I try, at least the past couple of years, I've tried not to single any one group out. So I felt that this was a topic that is, you know, a very foundation to my own trading. And whether you're a swing trader or a day trader, or whatever style you're trading, I felt that it would be a very applicable talk and have a lot of insightful lessons from a lot of different traders that I've studied over the years, and I'll try to bring in as much from my own trading as I can.
Can we take one of them and maybe talk about it and give people a little bit of a teaser about your session?
Yeah, absolutely. I think one of the most important things, so you know, the talk is titled 10 Steps, so I've got 10 various steps or principles, if you will. And one of the more important things in trading I found is that it's really important to be able to accept your mistakes. And you know, you really need to be able to just check your ego at the door and accept that you'll be wrong. I really think that, you know, mistakes provide the path to improvement. And a lot of people, and you know, speaking from my past experience, try to cover up our mistakes and really not embrace them in a way that provides exploration. So, you know, if you make a significant mistake in your trading, you know, write it down and, you know, find a way to learn from it. And I think that the mistakes that we do make should be embraced as learning opportunities and not necessarily bad things in and of themselves. So that's one of the sections that I'm going to elaborate on, trading mistakes.
Now, one of the things I ask traders all the time, and I get about a 50-50 split on the answer to this, is you hear sometimes that we should always know when we take a loss as a trader what happened, what we did wrong. And then the other half people say, you know, you can't always do that. Sometimes you're just going to be wrong and it's just the way the market is. Which side do you come down on?
I definitely believe that you can have a good trade that ends up being a loser. You know, you never know what the outcome of any individual trade is going to be. You try to structure it in a way so that over a larger statistical set, you produce a winning, a positive expectancy and, you know, profitable trades over time. But the way I look at it is if there is a valid setup that meets my criteria, I'm going to take the trade. And if it's you know, if it's a winner, great. If it's a loser and I follow my rules and enter the trade according to my criteria, then that's a good trade.
All right, I want to get into some of that criteria here in just a bit. But in terms of these 10 steps, is this something that you were taught, that you learned on the way on your own? How did you come about these things?
So this is really a collection of, you know, 8 or 10 years of research and studying that I've done in terms of, you know, what makes great winners. So I've looked at, you know, people from business leaders, great traders, athletes, and kind of comprised all of my knowledge and then just kind of condensed it down into these 10 principles that I'll be sharing at the expo.
All right, let's talk about your trading and trading of the E-mini specifically. That's E-mini S&P, I take it?
Yeah, that's correct. I focus on the E-mini S&P, and then I also trade the Euro 6E futures and the soybeans, and that's all on the day trading time frame. I also do swing trade individual stocks, and we can talk a little bit about that too.
Okay, let's start with that E-mini trading. So how many times a day do you trade, and kind of give us a general idea of those things and those setups that you're looking for?
So what I'm looking for on the intraday time frame is retracement. I have basically two methods. I'll use a retracement method and a breakout method. You know, the market can either be trending or range bound. So I like to have a couple of options to pull from. And so kind of a garden variety trade that I will use, so to speak, will be, you know, price will retrace back to a 15-minute level. I should mention that I'll look at two various time frames, the 15-minute, and I'll also use a 5-12 tick chart for trading intraday. And I use, you know, a little bit slight variation of this for all three markets, but kind of a general example would be, you know, price pulls back to a 15-minute, 50% retracement. And then what I can do is zoom in to that little bit smaller time frame, that 5-12 tick chart, and I'll take the first setup that shows up in the direction of that 15-minute trend. So this way, I can identify some larger support level in terms of a long setup, and I can identify that there are some sort of, you know, buyers or some sort of support there. Then I can zoom to a little bit smaller time frame, and that allows me to use a little bit smaller stop and then enter the position and manage it from there.
And do you usually go in with a full size, and what is that size, and do you scale in at all?
I do. I do trade all in, and then I will scale out. So I keep my size less than 10 contracts, which is small for some people, large for another, but I think it's, you know, important to kind of keep the focus on the risk side of things first. So I will put on the entire position at the onset of the trade, and I will typically have a first target point where I'll take off a third or a half of the position, and then I'll leave the second half or the remaining third as a runner and try to let the market be the one to take me out of the trade, and I'll use a trail stop for that.
All right, in terms of the 50% retracement, is that a Fibonacci retracement?
Yeah, I use the I use the Fibonacci tool. 50% technically isn't a Fibonacci number, but it's just convenient to use the tool. So I use a pullback to that 50% retracement, and then I'll put my stop just below the 61.8 Fibonacci number.
Okay, let me ask you about that too. When it comes down to that 50 as a retracement, are you waiting for it to turn? Do you get you execute right before it hits that number? I mean, and what if it passes through that number? What do you like to do?
So I'll use a limit order and place it just before the 50% retracement. That way, price can come down, and it usually needs to trade through the order to get a fill. So if I put my order 2 pips in front or a tick in front of that 50%, then that ensures that, you know, if we do get a full pullback and price retraces to the 50, that I get filled. And if the price just blows through that 50 and trades through the 61.8, then, you know, I have a stop in place to protect me.
And how often does that 50% retracement trade present itself to you?
So for each market, the ES, the 6E, and the beans, mostly the ES and the 6E, there's on any given day between 2 and 6 setups that I'm taking per market. So, you know, what I found is that on good days, or what I consider good days, where, you know, my trades are going entry to target, and then I have another setup entry to target, I'll have more trades and continue to trade on those good days. But then on the slow or days where, you know, we're chopping around and there may not be as much going on, I'll only have, you know, one or two setups. And I should mention, you know, from the risk side of my trading, I'll limit myself to two stop outs per market. So if it's, you know, Tuesday morning and my first trade ends up being a loser, and then the next trade's a winner, and then the third trade's a loser, well, that's, you know, three stops, and I'll be done with that market for the day. So in that way, I limit my downside risk, while at the same time, on those good days, not setting a daily profit goal. That way, when those good days do occur, I just continue to trade, you know, throughout the morning, and that allows for, you know, some days out of the month will be, you know, my months are kind of based, made up of a few really good days, a few days of losing trades or zero trades, and then a handful of, you know, just mediocre days. So if I were to cap myself on winning days, then that would, you know, it would skew the end result of the month. So that's kind of how I look at trading on good days versus bad days, and really focusing on how can I manage and reduce my risk first, and then the winning days will just, you know, the winning trades will present themselves.
So let me ask you about that. That's interesting. Is that a way to keep you disciplined? I mean, even I would have thought you were going to say two losing trades in a row, but you're just saying two trades on any day, even if you've had four trades in between those that you've won on, you'll quit for the day. Have I understood that properly?
Yeah, since I'm only taking, we'll just call it four or five trades on average a day per market, if two of those are full stop outs or losers, then, you know, that's 50% of my trades for the day. So in some cases, you look at it as, well, if my first trade's a loser, my second trade's a loser, well, then I'm down on the day. But the other view is if my first trade's a loser, then I have two winners, then I have another loser, well, I don't want to start continuing to take loser after I've had a couple winners in the morning and then just start giving back my profits. So I'd rather say, okay, I've had, you know, two losers for the day, I'm done for today in this market, I'll come back tomorrow and continue swinging the bat, so to speak.
All right, let's move on to the 6E. And is that the number 6, letter E? Is that the contract you're talking about?
Yep, that's the Euro Futures, and it's really the same setups that I use, just a little bit, you have a little bit wider range with the Euro because the it moves a little bit, it's a little bit more volatile than the ES. So it makes it nice because you can still get away with small stop sizes. I should mention I use, you know, 8 pips on the Euro, and which is, you know, very small, but then you can still allow for profit targets of, you know, 24, 30 pips. So your risk reward is really good with the Euro. That's why I really like trading that instrument.
Now, I know a lot of E-mini S&P traders strictly are technicians. They rarely watch the news. Maybe they'll know, obviously, if the non-farm payrolls is coming up. But with the Forex traders and what happens with the Euro especially, it seems like you have to pay more attention to the news. Do you?
I look at the news in terms of when an announcement is coming out so that I'm not putting a position on 30 seconds before a news announcement. But I don't use the economic numbers and news for my trading execution specifically. I have been getting more involved in the macroeconomic perspective just from a you know, learning and education standpoint over the years, just kind of expanding my horizon. But I don't specifically use the news and the numbers and things like that for execution. And I don't swing trade based off of any sort of earnings announcements and things like that.
A lot of S&P E-mini traders also only trade the S&P E-mini. Why trade stocks occasionally? Why trade Forex occasionally as well?
Well, I like to expand my markets, and I should mention that the Euro that I'm trading is the Euro futures contract. So sometimes on the ES, it'll be a day where there's not a whole lot going on. And if that was the only market that I was trading, what I found is you end up forcing trades or you end up taking what I call boredom trades. So I'm sitting there looking at the ES all day, and you know there hasn't been much going on. Maybe I had one or two trades in the morning, and the afternoon rolls around, and I just have this one market to look at. You know, you end up becoming bored and impulsively just pulling the trigger. So by having a couple different markets to look at, you know, and I'm placing all these trades manually, I'm not using any sort of automated system, it gives me a couple markets to look at, and I can, it really helps me remain patient. And then the swing trading aspect helps to diversify, so to speak. When volatility is really low, you know, as we've seen in the last couple of months, the ranges on the intraday charts are a little bit smaller, but that usually coincides with low volatility in most cases, coincides with, you know, a trending market. So if I can take advantage of overnight swing trading positions, holding positions for anywhere from a few weeks to a few months, that can help, I don't like the term make up, but that can help add balance to the intraday trading that may not see as much volatility. So that's kind of my way of diversifying, so to speak.
And then you got the stocks. Let's go to that. And then I want to go back to your breakout trades and talk about that, since we already covered retracements. But which stocks do you like to trade?
So I will use not necessarily a basket, but I will do a scan each evening for stocks that are making 52-week highs and 52-week lows. And I'll just add those to my watch list. And I'll go through that list, and that's where I find my setup. So it's not a specific, it's not the same specific group of stocks, but that's kind of how I scan and set my parameters.
Yeah, you know, I was just talking with somebody the other day. I was doing a presentation of that 20 Habits of Wealthy Traders that I do. And I was telling somebody, if you're having a tough time making money, if all you do is buy 52-week highs and sell short 52-week lows, you're in a better position. And I'm glad to hear you also say that, look, those are possibilities for me. I mean, but then again, I should ask you, are you looking for the 52-week highs to turn around, or are you looking for these to continue their trend?
I am looking for them to continue. My view is that, you know, a stock that's at a 52-week high and perhaps making a five-year high is there for a reason. Of course, there's going to be some instances where, you know, they're not going to obviously continue making new highs, but the odds are that if, you know, these individual stocks are breaking out and the trend is really strong, that, you know, that trend is going to continue.
All right, let's talk about the breakout trades. Also Fibonacci, or also how are you using those to find, or finding good opportunities with those?
So the breakout that I use intraday is kind of a variation of my swing trading method. So with the swing trading style that I'm using, I'm just looking at the daily charts, daily bars rather. And for a long trade, I would buy just above a recent breakout and put a stop below the recent low. Very simple, very hands-off. And then for shorts, it's just the reverse. I'd be selling just below a breakdown and then put a stop just above the swing high. So on the intraday time frame, What I noticed is, you know, the market doesn't always make it back to a full 50% retracement. On some really strong trending days, you end up with, you know, a market that might push lower and then get a very small bounce and then push lower again. So what I will look to do on these intraday breakout setups is use a sell stop below the low of a high bar in a downtrend, putting a stop above the high, and then in a strong uptrend, I will look to put a buy stop above the high of a low bar in a pullback. And that way, the market momentum and the change in that momentum is getting me into the trade, and then my stop is just below or above the prior swing high, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're pretty open with your strategies. I mean, and yet it's not nothing secret, right? I mean, good traders always will tell you that it isn't a secret. Yet you're pretty forthcoming with how you do this. Why do you think some traders that I talk to are so secretive about how they do it? Do they really not have a strategy? They can't explain it. Or what do you think's going on there?
Well, I spent some time down the hanging out with some traders down at the Board of Trade on the floor, and you know, one of the things they tell you is you know, if you have a strategy, keep it secret, don't tell anybody. But you know, that may be true for, you know, down on the floor and in the trading pits, but in front of the computer screen, there are so many other factors than just having an entry, a stop, and a profit target criteria listed out. So, you know, all of these other factors that go into becoming a, you know, a winning trader over time is all, I feel, comes back to that mindset and to that mental aptitude and, you know, some level of trader intuition. I try to be as mechanical as possible, but there's a level of discretion when you're managing a trade that, you know, you really can't teach. It comes from experience. And I know, you know, for someone new, it was always frustrating to me to hear, you know, that you know, there's no substitute for experience, and you have to put in the time. And you know, everyone wants a shortcut or, you know, something to speed up that learning curve. Which, you know, having a mentor or someone that you can trade alongside with or follow and kind of learn from their mistakes can certainly help accelerate the learning curve. But there is really no shortcuts when you think about you know, people like Michael Jordan, Tiger Woods, you know, these great athletes, you know, Steve Jobs, great business leaders and successful leaders of our time. You know, they put in so much time and have so much life experience that they can draw from that I think trading is the same way. So in that regard, you can give someone a list of rules to follow, but there's always going to be some level of discretion and intuition when it comes to managing the trade and just the ability to be able to pull the trigger and have the faith in your system. So, you know, over the years, as I go through and have developed my methods and, you know, picked off different pieces, I guess picked off isn't the best term, but, you know, picked up different ideas and listen to other traders' views on the markets and gather opposing views and things like that. And, you know, you try to collectively incorporate all of this knowledge that you obtain into your own trading. And then as you go through the process of developing a methodology and working out different tweaks and incorporating different observations that you have, you really begin to develop a very strong understanding of how your methods work, and you in turn result in a lot of confidence in your methods. So, you know, it starts with that level of commitment, and then you begin to develop that consistency, and then, you know, if you can learn to adapt to changing market conditions, then you can, you know, end up prospering over the long term, because that's really the goal. You know, it's not about making a quick buck on one or two trades. It's about, you know, being consistent and building a foundation for the longer term.
Right. Well, Tim, what time is your session? What day is it at the New York Traders Expo?
My session is on Tuesday, and that's the 19th, and it's 4:30, I believe, Eastern time. So if you're going to be in New York and if you're going to be at the expo, I'd love for you to stop by.
Excellent. And of course, you can register for that for free at newyorktradersexpo.com. You can also visit Tim's site at eminimind.com. We'll link to that in the transcripts for today's interview. Tim, thanks for your time.
Thank you so much, Tim.